We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
But you say, in what way shall we return? And God says very plain and clear, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? Now this is two parts. You know, this scripture is always preached for tithing, and you need to get it that it's not a scripture on tithing. There's two parts here, and he says, okay, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Okay, this is the two parts. There's a third part that you have to have. This is the two parts. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You are, and I hate this part, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, why does God say, even the whole nation? Why does God say, even the whole nation? Because God is very clear in the Bible that God's very clear in the Bible that 10% is His. Not the first 10, 10%. We'll get to that. 10% is His. God loves us so much that He doesn't take 90. But God says that 10% is holy and is to be set unto God. Now that is why He says even the nations are cursed, because of the fact that the whole nation, whether Christian or not, are cursed if they don't give that 10%. Because God set up the rule and the law that 10% of everything we have belongs to Him. It's set aside. It's holy. And if you happen to be in that statistical 80% of the Christian church nationwide that doesn't tithe, you are writing yourself under a curse. Now, let's look at the blessing that's tied with the... And the curse basically is the opposite of a blessing. He says, bring all the tithes, now he's specifically talking about the tithes, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and now try me in this. The Greek word here is, test me. Now this is the only place in the New Testament we can do this. Test me. And he says, what will happen? Says the Lord of hosts, I will not only open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there will be not enough room to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine bear fruit, fail to bear fruit in the fields. And all nations will call you blessed. And you will be delightful. You will have a delightful land. Now, this has always been used to preach tithing. This has been used to say, if you tithe, God's going to open the floodgates of heaven and the Cadillac's going to drop down on your front porch. Now, can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever seen a new house come out of heaven? Has anybody ever seen a Cadillac come out of heaven? Has anybody even seen any material possession come out of heaven? But he says, test me And see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. Now, what's God talking about here? We have to go over to Colossians chapter 3 to understand this. Listen to what Paul's trying to tell us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. Let's go over there and then we'll come back. Okay. Everybody there? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you were dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, is who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him. Now, what is the Lord talking about here then, when we go back to Malachi? If God's saying then, if you tithe, there's three blessings. If you tithe, there'll be meat in the Lord's house. Well, where is the Lord's house? This is the Lord's house, but we're told in the new temple, we're the temple of God, therefore our home is the Lord's house. But God is saying, if you tithe, there will be meat in my house. In other words, if you're a tither, you won't go hungry. First blessing. If you're a tither, and you give to me with a joyful heart, you won't go hungry. Then he says, to me the most important, the second blessing, he says, is I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. What comes out of heaven and goes into heaven? The Old Testament tells us that our prayers are as if sweet incense upon the nostrils of God. Well, if the window of heaven isn't open, where's our prayers going? They're going against a pane of glass, because no matter what you do, if that window is closed, you're not going to smell incense through it, are you? He tells us that He will open the windows of heaven. What comes out of heaven? The Holy Spirit. Angels. God's spiritual blessings come out of heaven. When we pray, when we get down on our knees up here on the altar and we pray to God, and then we get up from this altar and we walk out that door and we go back to the world and nothing has happened, do you ever wonder why? Do you ever sit there and think, is God just not listening? I know in times of my life, I have actually, and my wife will tell you, and she wants to hit me every time I do that, but I tell her, I feel like I've been praying, and I hear, sorry, the God you have reached is temporarily disconnected. If you feel you've reached this God in error, now is that my Lord? Or is that me? That's me. My God always wants to hear me. But I build the wall. And He's telling us right here that if we tithe, and this is only one of the three, the tithe, if we tithe, we will have the windows of heaven. Our prayers will be answered. They will go forth like incense, sweet incense upon His nostrils. We will receive the spiritual blessings, the gifts, the tongues, the overwhelming joy that can't be found anywhere else in the world. It will be poured upon us, no matter what happens to us. Sickness, destitution, death in the family. We will look into that open window of heaven and we will see Jesus Christ. And we will say, come, Lord Jesus.
Come on, preach, brother.
Amen. But we can't if we don't open those windows. The third blessing, God's threes, is what does He say? He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? Satan. He not only will rebuke him for our sakes, He will not allow him to destroy the fruit of our ground, nor the vine shall bear no fruit. And we shall be called blessed. And we will live in a delightful land. You know, the tithe does not anywhere, if we study in the Bible, guarantee or say you're going to be financially blessed. It is a return. It is a giving back of what you had. If you tithe, you won't get behind. You'll have food in your house. You'll have a joy in your heart. You'll have protection from the devil over your children. He says that this is a covenant that goes on for generation after generation after generation. It's not just for me. It's for my kids. And all that is one of the three. The offering that he mentions here at the beginning, the offering is the same. If you've been in a car wreck and you're hurting, and a man of God lays his hands on you and you are healed like that, have you gained anything? God has put back what you lost. You haven't gained anything. God has not given you anything more. You have gotten back what you lost. It's the same thing with the tithe. God lets you keep 90%, you give Him a measly 10, and He gives you back that 10th. And on top of giving you that 10th back, He guarantees that you're not going to be hungry, that you're going to be spiritually filled, that you are going to be able to not have the devourer go after you. Now think about it. God's threes. Like I said, how many times have we prayed and left and not felt the presence of the Lord? Why is that? God never says He isn't there. God never says He walked away from us. Even when He's talking about the Israelites and He's so mad He wants to destroy them, He says, they walked away from me. Now, just for the fun of it, I got to do this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Now, everybody looks at me, and I used to do this, and I have a friend of mine right now who does this, and he believes this, and he is not being blessed in any way, not spiritually, financially, in any way. They say, but Jay, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. That's the past. Here's our choice. We can either follow the leading of God or we can follow what the apostles did. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 44. I'm not far enough back. And all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among all who had need. So continually, daily, in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food in gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily of those who were being saved. Now, if we follow the New Testament version of tithing, what do we have to do? We have to sell every single thing we have, bring it here to the body, give it to the pastor, let the pastor and the deacons and elders distribute it back to the people. We need to be in here every single day or in every house, praying, singing, worshiping. Boy, it got deathly silent. I think the vote is 90 for the 10%, not the 90%. Now, you notice, though, it doesn't say here, God doesn't say, I'm going to open the heavens to you. God doesn't say, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, does He? He just says, this is what they did and this is what happened. See, even though they were giving everything and everybody was being cared for, that wasn't happening. God, that wasn't part of what God's promise was. God, the Bible is a living word. And if anything I have discovered in my 48 years of life, is that every word in this Bible is true, there is no error, and that every single thing in here, Old or New Testament, is important to how I live. We were listening to a story on, was it TBN? This gentleman was a traveling evangelist, and he was drawn to Africa. From the time he was a little kid, he was following the Lord, drawn to Africa. And there was a tribe that had evangelists come through many, many, many years ago. And he had one copy of the Bible that was in their language. And he left it for them. And their whole society revolved around that Bible. Their whole society used the manufacturer's handbook for every rule, every law, every judgment, everything that happened. They went to the Bible. Well, one time, because of a great fire and famine, they were forced to a whole tribe to relocate. This is how God works. It's a true story. They were forced to relocate, and on the relocation, they lost God's book. That's what they called it, God's book. And their belief was they no longer had a way to run their society. They had no longer a way to run their government. And so after they got settled in, one of the older women that was in prayer had a dream, a vision, that God would send a foreigner to this place. If they would come, He would have God's book for them. So a young man from the village traveled 3 days to get where this evangelist meeting was going, to get a copy of God's book for their whole tribe. And the man was exactly where, he was standing exactly where the woman had seen him in the dream when the young kid showed up. And he just happened to have a copy of the Bible in their African tongue. That's how my God works. That's how my God works. Now, let's see. You know, we're looking here about the curse in Malachi chapter 3. We looked at the curse. Well, let's jump over, just for the fun of it, to Acts chapter 5, verse... what did I write down? Verse 1. Oh, no wonder I didn't write it down. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And a certain man, Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceedings. His wife also, being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." Ananias, upon hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last, and so great fear came upon those that heard these things. Now, those that know the story know the exact same thing happened to his wife. She was carried out by the same man, buried in the same tomb. That's what happened in those days if we lied to God. If we stole from God. If we kept from God. What would happen today if every one of us who didn't give God his part back, how many would be here? How many Christians would be in the nationwide church? It would look like the rapture. I mean, just bam, probably, and you just have... But God loves us so much, He doesn't do that anymore, does He?
Amen.
Now, we've talked about the tithe and the offering. We've talked about what happens with the tithe and the windows being opened and heaven being so that we can go back and forth. We've talked about the devourer. There's a third part to this key. How many times have you heard a pastor tell you need to bring the first, your tithe, the first of your tithe? Do you know that in Leviticus, the tithe is not the first tenth? Did you know that in Leviticus, and I probably forgot to write that down, I believe it's chapter 27, but in Leviticus, the Lord specifically says, "And I want the tithe of your rams and the tenth one that passes under the rod shall be mine." Not the first. The tenth one that passes under the rod shall be mine. Now, if I'm standing up here right now and I have 10 $100 bills, and I offer to give you one of those 10 $100 bills, do you care what one it is? Does it really matter if it's the first one off that stack or the last one off that stack or the middle? See, God ordains a tenth as holy unto the Lord. See, God ordained that. And I can go through all the Scriptures where He ordains a tenth, not the first tenth, just the tenth, as being holy unto the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, he tells us if we don't give Him His tenth, not ours, His tenth, there's a curse tied to it. So, is there... We've talked about the offering that keeps us even, gets us back what we give. We've talked about how the tithe, we don't go behind, we stay even or we get our tenth back. We've talked about how if you're healing, that's nothing new. Then how do we progress? What's missing? And this is what I'll go into more this evening. There's three offerings. In Leviticus, the Lord says, "And tell all of Israel to bring to me the first fruits of all your grains, the first fruits of all your increase, the first fruits of your rams. Bring into my storehouse the offerings. Bring into my storehouse the tithe, God's perfect three." Now, what is an offering? People get confused. So what is an offering?
Above your tithe.
Offerings are so simple. You know, if you read the law, the Levitical law, you have any idea how many offerings there were in the Levitical law? I mean, there was an offering for everything. For everything. But all an offering is, in our day and time, is what God leads you to give to someone. That's all it is. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, "She needs $1,000 to go to Africa. Give it to her." That's not your tithe. That's an offering. That 10% belongs to God, and you can't use it for anything else but God. The offering you can do anything with. Anything God leads you. You see a homeless person going down the road that doesn't have food to feed themselves, and you feel like pulling out a $10 bill because the Holy Spirit urges you to give them that. That's an offering. And I guarantee whether it's a $10 bill or $1,000, you'll get it back.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.